Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
No one working in the boiler room, no one working with the tools. You could take it the easy way, there's no one fixing our school. Supply fans and cooling towers breaking down all over the place. Our maintenance infrastructure could blow a leak any day. How safe do you feel? Just how safe does it make you feel?
And happy weekend, radio family, welcoming you once again to the weekend edition of Community Focus, heard here on our Odyssey station, starting things off a little bit differently this time. That happens to be the reggae, or that was the reggae version of the maintenance crisis. As our workforce development hour continues, and it is good to have back with me on the program, as we will be talking about living the dream, as I welcome you once again, Joel Leonard, to Community Focus. Good morning, and how you doing?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I tell you, this is such an honor to bring you my real, this is my real
yes.
Haitian family. believe it or not, a couple of years ago when my mom passed,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't have Thanksgiving with my family, I went to my Haitian family and had it with them.
Wow.
And we have, I met them back in 2014 when they had a food truck, a brother and sister combo. They came here from Haiti. Her brother came in after the earthquake, and she came a little bit later with her daughter. And I tell you, you could not find better people in this world than these folks. I just love them to death. We happen to have different skin complexion, but I can tell you my heart beats like theirs do.
Absolutely.
And I just love them to death. And I will fight for them and have fought for them and will fight ignorance every day of the week. I have been to food festivals with them, and all these Americans stand in line for deep fried fat donuts and stand in line for pizza and walk away from jerk chicken that's as good as gourmet food that you can find, and don't, because it's different and it's new, and because these folks have dark skin and they're from Haiti, which most people think Haiti, they don't think about food. They think about government corruption and they think about disasters.
Right.
They don't even give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been their spokesperson. And so they call me the white Haitian. And isn't that true, DJ?
Yes, that is exactly true.
Oh, DJ, it is so wonderful to hear your voice. And by the way, DJ and Joel, this is part of our continuation of the Workforce Development Hour. And in fact, we're calling this weekend segment Living the Dream because, DJ, that is exactly what you and your brother have done. You have lived the American dream. And Joel, we were just talking about this before we even came on air with the Public Affairs Show, that a lot of people think that the American dream has died. And obviously, DJ and her brother are living proof that it has not.
Yeah, and so what I want DJ, and I'm sorry, her brother, they just had 15 people walk in. They
wow.
now have their own restaurant.
Yes.
They no longer just have a food truck. They got a restaurant.
Restaurant. Wonderful.
I mean, and they opened up in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
They didn't shut down. They opened up.
Opened up. Yeah.
So,
love it. Love
so,
it.
So these folks are incredible. They've had this single-minded vision of what they wanted to do, and they didn't let anything stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want
that.
Them to share, you know, what does it take? We should have her and her brother.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
They teach these kids that are coming out of school that don't know how to work what to do to be a success because these people know and they have the attitude, they've got the focus, and they are living the dream. All these people make excuses on why they can't do something, and it's ridiculous. I tell you, I'm almost ashamed to be an American because a lot of the people, the way they act, the immigrants, who, and especially treating people like her, she not only deals with racism, she deals with immigrantism. Everybody complains that people are taking American jobs. She's hiring people.
Right.
But you know what? They don't want to work. She can't hire Americans because they don't the work ethic, and they have to let them go.
And
so DJ, I'll let you take it from here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
First of all, DJ, let me say, now I took French a long, and I'm emphasizing that word, time ago, and I had a friend actually when I was in college who was also from Haiti. Her name was Carla, and she taught me a little French, Haitian Creole to be exact. So I want to give you the proper greeting in your native language by saying to you, bonjour, comment allez-vous?
Bonjour, René. Ça va bien, et toi?
Oh, beautiful. Oh, that such beautiful, beautiful language. Welcome. You were initially a newbie to Community Focus, but DJ, both you and your brother, Hilda, are officially family. So welcome to the Community Focus family.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Tell us a little bit about your background, about your story.
Yes, my name is DJ, but my real name is DJosen, so people can't really say my real name,
okay.
So I fight DJ.
I love
I've been in this state since 2002, and I started school as middle school, then I went to high school and ended up graduating in college.
Wonderful.
So after college, I was working two jobs, mm-hmm. But my brother always had his dream to become a restaurant owner. So 1994, when he come in this country, he started washing dishes, and he work in a restaurant where he will watch what other people doing, and he will ask them, hey, do you need help? So that's how he started learning how to cook American dish and stuff like that.
Nice.
And he started actually at Olive Garden. So after he started at Olive Garden washing dishes, it was a restaurant, Olive Garden in High Point Road, called Greatest American Grill. So he went work for them as a chef. And then the head manager asked him if he want to open Longhorn on Wendover.
Wow.
So he worked for Longhorn on Wendover for 26 years. He actually opened Longhorn. So after I finished working for Longhorn one day, we had this idea. We was like, well, we should open a food truck. Because every time we do gathering at our home, we invited people. We don't take money from them. We just invite it and just have fun, you know. So they kept saying, DJ, that food is good. You guys should open a restaurant. So finally, me and my brother sit down one day. It was a lot of struggle to know how to open a food truck. So, but we finally figured it out. We opened the food truck. So after 7 years, we went and signed a lease in my neighborhood, because we see this place. We was like, this place has been sitting there. We want it.
Mm-hmm.
So did not know COVID was going to hit in March of, is it 2020?
Yeah, 2020. Yeah.
Yes, and March 2020, as soon as we finished signing the lease, I was working at Longhorn. They laid me off, and I was like, this is ridiculous. We already signed lease, now COVID hit.
Right.
So we was like, well, as long as your name is on something, you can't go back.
Mm.
So we went and opened the restaurant. So
wonderful.
We're living the American dream.
Yes, you are. And not only living it, DJ, I wanted to share with our radio family, your expertise in food was so good that you were voted and you won, let me emphasize that, the 2015 Food Truck Festival. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On that honor. Absolutely. And I just love the enthusiasm and the fact that you and your brother didn't give up, given the circumstances that surrounded you, and mainly a situation in which none of us had any control over this pandemic. And this was at a time, and
no.
I love, Joel, that you pointed it out, where typically people were losing jobs and restaurants and other businesses were closing. Here's a brother and sister that are actually opening their own restaurant. And by the way, for anyone that lives in the Whitsitt, North Carolina area, it is the King Queen Caribbean Grill off of NC 90, Cape Fear Drive. Now, this is off of Interstate 70 as you're going east towards Burlington. So I'm sure not only radio family in the Whitsitt area, DJ, know about you, but many area Burlington residents. If they don't, they're going to know about you today. You're on Community Focus. I'm just so proud of both of you.
Only 20 minutes from Greensboro.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it's definitely worth the trip.
I'm planning for a better community. I live in a good community. They support me. And sometimes if they know something wrong, we have a lot of support from the community.
That's
where they
wonderful.
Come check up on us. If they know we need something, they will come in and volunteer and help us out.
Wonderful.
Like that.
Wonderful. DJ, let me ask you this question. What is the most requested or the favorite item off the menu, off the top of your head, that you can think of that you have customers ordering?
Bowl.
Really?
The shrimp pineapple bowl.
Oh, my goodness. It just sounds so good.
Yes, but now it's close to like the red snapper. A lot of people love the red snapper fish
Wonderful.
Too. So
yeah.
Right now it's kind of like a tie between the pineapple bowl and the red snapper.
Excellent. Now, Joel, have you had an opportunity to go by? Have you ever? Was that not a silly question to ask, right?
Oh, if I live, they live an hour, they're off, the store's an hour away from me.
Okay.
So, but I go as often as I can. And, if I did, I'd be eating them out of house and home. I tell you, I love that place.
Wow.
I love his cooking.
Yeah.
I love their food.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite dish?
Oh, the pineapple bowl, okay. The chicken falls off the bone, the jerk chicken.
Yes.
I mean, and I don't eat a lot of pasta, but their pasta is good.
It's delicious.
And he also makes these little pockets what do you call
them? Haitian chicken patty.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, DJ, I haven't eaten in the last several hours, so any mention of food is making me hungry.
I'm sorry. Maybe there was some time you stopped by, Renee, or maybe I can mail it to you, Renee.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Listen, DJ, I would love to get in my car and come see you personally. I love to drive. I like being on the highway. On nice sunny days, of course, when the weather's a little cold and rainy, then I'm pretty much a homebody. But other than that, I would love and come and see you and support you and your brother. So expect a visit from
anytime.
Me soon. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. You're welcome, sis.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joel, for introducing two new members of our Community Focus family. And DJ, the next time, hopefully we can get you back on a future segment, we'll have an opportunity to talk to your brother. Give him my hellos for me, please.
So real quick, DJ, before we let you go, tell us about your challenges in hiring people.
Yes.
Oh, right now it's so hard to hire people. We should not have any homeless in the street because he's got plenty of jobs. At the same time, you got people who really can work.
And I really hope.
It is hard to find people.
But I really hope, a DJ, for someone who is listening to us this morning here on Community Focus who does want to work, we'll find a way to make it to you to say, listen, I was someone who heard the program. You want to hire somebody, I'm your person. So hopefully the conversation, the wonderful conversation that Joel and I had with you today will inspire that individual who is looking for work to make their way to you.
Yes.
I mean, Renee Hilder didn't even speak English, and he did nothing was beneath him, nothing was above him.
Right.
And so he is incredible. Anything else you want to add, DJ? I know you've got 15 people sitting there waiting on you, too. So.
They're waiting on that jerk chicken.
Well, I would like to say thank you, Joel, for being part of my family.
Yes.
And thank you, Renee, for giving me that opportunity
to get
your radio station. So I truly appreciate
it. Man. Thank you, my dear. And look forward to hearing more good things from the both of you. Take care.
Most definitely. Thank you, Renee.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Let's go to work, America. Let's put everybody to work.
And with that, let's go to break as the weekend edition of Community Focus continues. It is more the weekend edition of Community Focus. Great company as always, Radio Family, here on our Odyssey stations every weekend. Engaged in great conversation with members of our Community Focus family. So happy I get to do it another weekend with Joel Leonard. Living the dream. This is our workforce development hour, and we have had the opportunity to continually share with you members of our community who are definitely doing just that, living the dream. And I wanted to take this opportunity before Joel makes the next call for us, and we can welcome another new member of our Community Focus family. Speaking of those who are very driven and you are looking for employment and work, I wanted to share with you that Mohawk, and that's Mohawk Industries, is committed to more solutions, more sustainable manufacturing, and more opportunities. In fact, they are a Fortune 500 global flooring leader. Mohawk is a great place to start to grow your career with a focus on more of what's important to you. Now, this happens to be a wood and laminate distribution facility located in Thomasville, North Carolina, and they have immediate openings as Mohawk offers great benefits, including medical, dental, vision, 401k, tuition assistance, and a whole lot more. So if you're looking for more in regards to jumpstarting a career or even changing careers, you have an opportunity to apply online today at Mohawk. Again, that's Mohawk-careers.com. So again, that's Mohawk-careers.com. And Mohawk Industries is an equal opportunity employer. So how did I do on that one? There, Joel, I had to ask.
Oh, you did fantastic.
Thank
the
you.
Other thing I want to add to that is they have two open positions for maintenance managers.
Excellent.
And a lot of people think of maintenance, they think of janitorial and
right.
just unplugging and cleaning up floors and outlets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know, if they haven't been in an advanced manufacturing plant, that a maintenance manager is one of the highest, if they're non-salary, it's the highest hourly rate that you can get in a company most of the time.
Yeah.
And if it is salary, it's a good salary because they have a lot of responsibility and expectations put upon them. And they are very integral to the success of that business is being the maintenance manager. And a lot of times now they're calling them reliability engineers because they're not only fixing what's broken, they're trying to put in systems and processes to keep the machine and the whole system from breaking down. So that's what they call reliability now. So Mohawk is a very much a automated, very integrated facility with lots of technology. They make flooring, but it's a lot more than just wood. It's, mm-hmm. it's a lot of automation in that facility, and it's huge. So
excellent.
Whoever gets these jobs
yeah.
will be getting lots of opportunity to grow.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And you know what, Joel, that makes me think, too, because for a lot of us, whether we are familiar with the Thomasville area or not. I know initially growing up when I moved to North Carolina, I just remember everyone would always say, you got to go to Thomasville and see the big chair. Because, of course, there was a time in its heyday, it was well known as being part of the furniture industry. But, of course, the advent and what we've seen change, especially as regards to maintenance and workforce development and technology, Thomasville has become a whole lot more than just a big chair that sits in the middle of beautiful downtown. It has really grown over the years and over the decades.
Absolutely. There's lots of great activities
yeah.
there and lots of good programs underway.
Exactly.
And lots of good leadership there. I know the mayor, and they've done a lot of things to try to spruce up that community.
Right.
So we happen to have now, Reynolds, you're there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Okay, so
good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we have another community leader. This is Reynolds Lisk, who met Reynolds several years ago, and I've lived in Ashburn for 20 years, but I didn't really call it home
right.
until after I've seen some really amazing things happen where the community stepped up to take care of its own. And that's when I started calling it home. And so, and Reynolds is a big part of that. He has been on numerous boards within Ashburn and has led some valiant efforts to better the community. And I got to have the pleasure of watching Reynolds at his best speak to the county commissioners when they were up for the public hearing mm-hmm. to vote for the using taxpayer money to sign the checks to authorize them to give incentives to Toyota to move into the mega site at the Guilford Randolph, whatever you call it, the mega site northeast of Randolph County. And so Reynolds gave a very passionate speech, and I want him to kind of share some of the where we were, and that helps us better appreciate where we are right now. And then, Renee, you feel free to ask him questions as
okay.
he goes through this. But this gentleman is really in fact, he was so good with the speech, the president of the community college said that that was his speech and that Reynolds picked it off the ground.
Which we know, Reynolds, is not true.
No, that is not true. That is correct. That is correct.
So that tells you how good it was.
Right.
Reynolds was somebody was trying to plagiarize Reynolds. so well done. So anyway, Reynolds, take it from here, sir. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Okay, Joel, I'll try to keep it concise and to the point. But basically what I talked about was back in the 60s and 70s, Randolph County was had a very strong manufacturing base, primarily textiles and furniture, although it did go beyond that. So in the really starting in the 1990s, the late 90s, when we really saw a lot of jobs being shipped overseas, we lost a large number of companies. Walker Shoe Corporation, General Electric, Black & Decker, mm-hmm. Burlington Industries, Kloppman Mills, wow. Stebbin Corporation, Pinehurst Textiles, Goodyear Tire and Rubber. And you can see that was a pretty diverse manufacturing mm-hmm. base. Those companies began to leave one by one for a lot of different reasons. And starting about 2000, between 2000 and 2010, we lost approximately 8,000 jobs in this county of 144,000 people. And a lot of those were legacy jobs. I mean, that generations of Randolph Countyans had worked in these places. And it got to be a very difficult situation. And we were kind of in a situation of managing decline all the way up until a year or so ago when things began to turn for us. Mm-hmm. But in 2008, Forbes magazine had ranked Ashburn as the fourth fastest dying city in its peer group in the United States. And then in 2012, 60 Minutes came to town and did a story on Ashburn in Randolph County based on the 2008 Forbes article. And they were trying to show was Ashburn being a typical small community, as so many small communities in the U.S. were experiencing a similar situation with job losses. And that story bore out. I mean, we were having a very difficult time coming back. Randolph County had median income below the state average. And North Carolina has a median income below the national average. And the opportunities that we have economically now with the Toyota announcement, with the boom announcement in Greensboro that's going to come into the airport, and we've got the mega site in Chatham County that's just across the Randolph County line, that is being looked at by a large number of companies. I don't know who. But there's a lot of activity going there. But I recently heard from a North Carolina economist saying that in the next 15 years that they expected almost 17,000 jobs, new jobs, to be created through the Randolph County megasite, the boom announcement in Greensboro, mm-hmm. and all the suppliers that will be coming to this area. So it's they're kind of a euphoric feeling down in our area right now, but there is a concern about finding employees. These are all going to be great paying jobs with great mm-hmm. benefits and great places to work. So, but we've got it seems like there's always an issue, mm-hmm. but we are excited and confident that these jobs are going to be filled, and it's going to be generational changes in this area for a long time to come.
Absolutely. And Reynolds, I have actually a comment or a statement I want to make, and then I had a question for you. The comment and statement being, it would be really nice if those same media outlets, such as 60 Minutes, would come back and do a follow-up piece to see how much growth, number one, the Thomasville-Ashburn area has seen within the last 20 years. And yep. the question yep. to you would be, as you are looking for individuals to fill these various positions, what do you say particularly to a younger audience that does listen to public affairs shows such as this? Those who may be coming out of high school or coming from a good technical school or four-year university that are looking mm-hmm. to fill some of these positions. And these are typically jobs that most of the Generation Xers don't even think about, because it's like, oh, those were jobs my mom and dad and grandparents have. I have no interest in it. Exactly. But then when you look at the advent of where technology has taken things, and we have such a generation of bright, brilliant, smart kids who can fill these jobs, because we as baby boomers, you know, we got to retire at some time and enjoy retirement life.
I did
you
about
know?
A year ago. So.
Exactly. So what would you say to those group of individuals?
I'd say you are on point with that, because the concept of manufacturing jobs, when you think about a year ago, a lot of them were dirty.
Yeah.
They were low paid. It was extremely loud. The working conditions were just not pleasant.
Right.
And today, it's totally different. I know
exactly.
Joel, I would listen to him and you talking about Mohawk, and what a highly automated and clean that business is. And these jobs, the working conditions are going to be totally different than they were back years ago. And so, I think a lot of young people didn't want to go into those because they were, historically low pay too.
Right.
This is a 180 degree change from manufacturing of old.
Absolutely. Now, I may have an additional question, because you just have the coolest name in Reynolds. How did your parents come up with naming you Reynolds?
Reynolds is my middle name. That was my grandmother's last name.
Oh, God.
So,
nice.
Yeah, it really confuses people. And they say, what's your name? I'm Reynolds. I say, well, what's your first name? And I say, Tyler's my first name. Reynolds is my middle name.
Yeah.
And then they're completely confused. But it has been, there are not a lot of Reynolds lists running around.
Right, exactly. That's what I like about it. It's just so authentically different. It has a bit of a aristocracy, I guess we can say, to it.
Hated my name.
Did you?
I did not like my name growing up, because it was so different than everybody else.
Right.
And as a child, I wanted to, you see those little keychains in the dime store, with everyone's
names
on them.
Yes. And you could never find it. I know what you mean.
It was never
exactly.
That way, but I'm okay with it, man.
There you go. Well, thank you for sharing that. And besides, you're carrying on a legacy in your family by having that name, and how beautiful that is. It's just a wonderful reminder of where you come from.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joel. The floor is back to you, my friend.
Well, I just, again, thank Reynolds for making the time to talk to us today. He's the kind of people that we've got to try to emulate. He's retired. And he cares. He does so much for this community.
Mm-hmm.
His family does so much for this community. And he doesn't get paid for it. He just goes out because he cares.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if we're going to really grow our communities, we've got to have more people willing to pass it on, willing to grow and have input and lift people up. And I just applaud him. And Reynolds, tell us about your experience when you did the Dignitary Challenge with the remote control car.
Oh, well, that was a lot of fun. I found out very quickly that I'm not very adept at remote control cars. I was completely embarrassed, and then my battery died. So I had fun with the kids,
right?
And we got a lot of laughs out there and all. But that was a great exercise and thing, and great project that Joel had done with the charter school here in town, and really getting the kids excited about building things, making things, that was fun. And one thing that Joel and I talked about yesterday was, working can be fun.
Yes.
And particularly, they say if you find something you enjoy doing, you never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you want to see these young kids get involved and get interested in different things. And this manufacturing is new. And we hope that a lot of them, this will light a fire
under a lot of the young people in this area, because there's going to be great opportunity for them.
Absolutely, Reynolds, and I couldn't agree with you more, and that's what I've come to appreciate about knowing Joel over the years, is his advocacy in working with young ones, and like yourself, getting our young ones fired up about workforce mm-hmm. development is just truly a joy. I hate your battery died. And Joel, this sounds a lot like what happened with another member of our community focus family when we had Jason Hayes on the program. I believe he participated in something similar.
He participated in it, but he sat from the sidelines. I just wanted him to say what he saw. But
right.
Yeah, he was really funny to watch a state representative kind of correct one of her protege, her spotter, when she said, "Now you need to remember, my left is your right, and my right is your left, and my back is your front." Because she was giving her information, but it was the opposite of what she needed to tell her.
Okay.
And you know, that's the key. And you can be technically sound and you can do it, but if you can't communicate that to somebody else
right.
that might not know about it, then mm-hmm. the whole business shuts down in the process.
Very true. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's so important to have intercommunication skills. Absolutely. And that's why that little game, it was silly, but it worked.
It worked, exactly.
Yes, it did. It did work, and that's a great point, Joel. You've got to be able to communicate, and if you don't have communication, you don't have much.
Very true.
That's right, and
wonderfully,
you got kids that are growing up that don't like to listen, and you got other kids that don't like to talk. That forced them in an environment where they had to both, and they didn't like to lose, so they stepped it up. So anyway, I'm looking forward to summer. Hopefully some schools and other groups will let me come out and do this with them.
Exactly.
And again, get more ready for these jobs. We've got so many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm putting on a job fair right now, and I only need 40 people to sign up, and I can't get 40 registrations.
Mm.
And I'm working just as hard now as I did, Renee. Remember when I put on those 2005, 2006
yes,
job fairs?
I do.
And we'd have over 1,000 people show up?
Yeah.
I'm working as hard now to get 40 people to sign a form.
Compared to 1,000. Wow.
Well, you know, if I can make a quick point here, Renee and Joel both, to that point, back in, it was somewhere around 2009 or 2010, you know, when the economy had just fallen off a cliff in this country. And there were no jobs available at all. We were just seeing jobs go away, disappear. Well, the Waffle House announced they were going to build a new restaurant here in town, in Asheboro, put it on Cox Street, and which you figure a Waffle House has, what, maybe 10, 12 full-time positions and maybe 30, 40 part-time positions. There were over 2,000 people that applied for those jobs for one Waffle House.
Mm.
And you look at today, Joel, you had 1,000 people years ago going to a job fair, and now you can't get 40. You know, where have the workers gone?
Gone, exactly. Exactly.
It's just staggering to me. But I told Joel yesterday that figure with the Waffle House, I think it was close to 2,700, but I'm not. It was pushing up towards 3,000. Mm-hmm. But I will just be safe and say over 2,000 people applied. That shows you how many people were looking for some kind of income.
Yeah. Well, I hope today's conversation that we're having between the three of us will spark some individuals, Joel, in terms of what you are looking for. And Reynolds, I can't thank you enough for all you have done. Even as a retiree, you're still giving back to the community. So I really appreciate you for that. Keep up the wonderful work and welcome, let me say, I didn't have a chance to do that, to the Community Focus family.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak. And I do want to say, too, I just want to note, Joel's passion for manufacturing and is unlike anything I have ever seen.
Exactly.
And he's a real jewel.
Yes,
in
he
that
is.
Standpoint, treasure for our area, yes. For sure.
And you're a jewel too, Reynolds. Well, don't count yourself out on that.
Well, thank you, Reynolds, and I'm going to need your help to build our maker space here in Asheboro.
Well, I'll do what I can.
All right. You take care. Thank you, Reynolds.
Again. Okay. All right. Thank you, Renee.
You're
welcome. Let me know when you want to go get some Asian food or chicken or the chicken rotisserie, or maybe even go to, we might be able to have to go up to Whitsitt sometime and get some of this Haitian food. You'll hear about that later. But thanks again, man. I really appreciate everything.
Sounds like a plan. You take care. You're welcome. Bye-bye. And Joel, there are a couple of other people we want to add to the Community Focus family, so I'm going to give it back to you.
I had such a compelling conversation with them during a recent chamber, and every time I've run into Kenita, I've relished the moment, because I've dropped off some materials at the soup kitchen. She volunteers there, and Tiffany does, and just seeing how engaged and how focused and how composed she is, and how on mission and on target she is, I just had to I just have to listen to her. So I invited her on our program today. And then we have her friend, Tiffany, who I don't know that much about, but I'm hoping to learn more today. And we had a terrific conversation the other night at a chamber meeting at the Economic Development Group as we were celebrating the future arrival of Toyota electric vehicle battery. So this program's focus is, what do we do to get more people ready? That not just the traditional folks who would get into an industry and get into a factory. What about the others? What about the homeless? What about the people that have been formerly incarcerated? How can they benefit from this extra increase in jobs? And how can we get them ready to take these on? All right, Kenita, tell us what can we do? And Tiffany, chime in when you want. What do we do to get the homeless ready to take on either the jobs at the mega site, which is Toyota, or the vacuum jobs? The vacuum jobs are the jobs that are going to be created after Toyota takes all the qualified workers from the existing workforce. And how do we get the new workers ready to get those vacuum jobs or the Toyota job?
Well, thank you for inviting me, Joel, and it was a pleasure talking with you as well. I feel that they need to be trained, because a lot of people are not trained to do it, and they do need therapy to show them the way. They need support from us as individuals. They need to be given a chance, because a lot of them aren't given a chance to be able to work in different opportunities because of their records. So it comes with being able to give them a chance, have the training, the technology training, because a lot of them don't get that being incarcerated. They are able to get more than they used to be. So they're more tech savvy than you really think whenever they get out. Somebody I talked to said that they had more technology in to like prisons or something, but if they're in jail, then they don't have that as much technology. They can train them before they even leave prison. They can get on there if they don't have a GED and be able to get a GED before they leave prison. What do you think, Miss Tiffany?
Well, I personally believe that for homeless and incarceration reform, it really do start with a conversation. A lot of these people are not being spoken to. They have amazing backgrounds, and we don't know their story. We talk to them to see what they know, what they don't, what they're open and willing to do, and what they want for themselves. They just need a chance. They need a listening ear, and then they need a second chance. And so once we have those first line, that data, that information, then we can go from there. Even people in prison, they've been educated in the prison system. They're coming out with skill sets, but because they've been incarcerated, they're unable to find jobs. So having those conversations, I know Joel talked about the second chance temp agency that he is affiliated with, just building relationships with businesses that they are open to receive them in spite of their background. You know, a lot of our homeless, some of them don't want to be reformed. They just want the shower. They just want the food. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk to them to see what they want for themselves. Some fall on hard times. Being open to make sure we have resources for men as well as women and children who want to get on their feet, who have fallen on hard times. And because we just pass them by, we just look at them and we just assume that they're lazy, that they're bums, that they're broken. Like even a lot of people who went to prison. I know people who are in prison right now because they are guilty by association but did not commit the crime.
Second chances is so important because you never know. That could be that person that builds that career that becomes really, really big and can invent something that's really, really big or show a company how well, you know, become the leader of that company that you're hiring.
Absolutely.
Their past, they still have a lot of potential that just haven't tapped into it yet.
Thank you, Kanita, Tiffany, and Joel. We definitely will continue this conversation on a future broadcast. And to thank you, you have been listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And remember from me, no goodbyes. Just until next time, take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.